God's grace and peace are yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation, Isaiah chapter 12, previously read. In the name of God, who is our Savior, your fellow redeemed. Did you know that the Lutheran Church is sometimes described as the singing church? And for good reason, right? It probably all started back at the time of Luther. In Luther's day, Christian worship was kind of a spectator sport. By that I mean people kind of just listened while the priests chanted in Latin. Luther was determined to change that. Luther decided, we need to get God's word into the mouths of his people. And so he translated God's word into German and then connected it to singable tunes of his day. And from that point on, and to this day, the Lutheran Church has been rightfully called the singing church. But you realize that that didn't start necessarily with Luther, even though he kind of resurrected congregational singing. There had been hymns sung by Christians down through the centuries. I mean, you think, for example, of Paul's words to the Christians in Ephesus, where he says, "Speak to one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music in your heart to the Lord." Or you think about the time when Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were doing what? Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Even Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, did what? When they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Obviously, singing hymns is something that Christians have been doing for centuries, since the time of Christ, but really even before that as well. In our midweek Advent services this year, we're going to focus on two of those hymns recorded in the Old Testament. In this case, in the book of Isaiah. Today we take up what has been often called the first song of Isaiah. It's the song that we just sang moments ago. A song that might be referred to as a song for the God who saves. In this song, the prophet focuses on three things that we could still confess, in fact, that we could still sing to this very day. He says, first, God is my salvation, therefore I will not be afraid, but instead I will make known what he has done. First, God is my salvation. The prophet puts it this way. I will praise you, O Lord. Although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you've comforted me. Surely God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. The Lord is my strength and my song. Notice that Isaiah twice refers to God as his salvation. He's my salvation. Actually, that last verse there, it's actually been lifted right out of a previous song of praise. The song of praise that Moses and Israel sang after God had rescued them by bringing them through the Red Sea, rescuing them from the Egyptian army. Exodus records it this way. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. The horse and its rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Notice that same statement, my salvation. The question is why? Why does he say my salvation? A couple reasons. One, it underscores that salvation is something personal, right? It's, in other words, it's one thing to say, oh, I believe that Jesus died for everybody, and saying, I believe he died for me. I mean, I'm putting all my chips on his square. I am personally trusting that he's my only hope. Jesus is my salvation. But exactly what does he mean by salvation? I mean, is a prophet looking for God to somehow rescue him from all of his political enemies? I mean, whether it's the Philistines or the Canaanites or the Assyrians or the Babylonians, is he looking for God to rescue him from disease and poverty? No, even though God certainly can and has rescued people from these enemies, that's not really what Isaiah is talking about when he says, my salvation. He's really talking about being saved from the wrath of God. Remember what Jesus told his disciples? Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Who's he talking about? He's not talking about earthly enemies who can hurt us physically. He's not even talking about the devil who can torment our soul. He's talking about the one person who can condemn people, body and soul, to hell forever. There's only one person who can do that, and it's God. God has the authority to condemn people. God is the one who hates sin and demands that it be punished. And because you and I and Isaiah have all broken God's commandments every day, God has every reason to be angry with us. And that's why Isaiah acknowledges that fact here when he says, I will praise you, O Lord, although you were angry with me, your anger has turned away and you've comforted me. Now, you notice the change that Isaiah is describing here. God was angry and he isn't anymore. Now, realize this doesn't mean that God simply, well, he kind of just got over our sin, didn't bother him so much anymore. No. Rather, God took his just anger and he directed it somewhere else. He directed it to his son. And there on the cross, he unloaded his anger on his son by sending him to hell in our place. God redirected his anger toward his son. It's because of Jesus that now that anger is not at us. It's because of Jesus that we are comforted. It's because of Jesus that we can say, God, you are my salvation. Isn't it kind of ironic that the very person who was so angry with us is now the person that we look to for comfort? It's almost a contradiction. But it's how it works. I mean, it reminds me a little bit when I was a kid and I'd do something to make my dad mad. You know, I'd come in late, you know, past curfew, or I'd run the garden tractor into a tree, or I took a stone and I threw it and I hit my little neighbor girl. These are hypothetical situations. When those things happened, I could try to go run and hide. I could try to deny that I did it, but that didn't work. I mean, it didn't give me any peace. I only found peace when I went to my dad, who I had rightfully angered, and now I acknowledged it. And I heard him say, Robbie, because Jesus forgives you, so do I. In the end, the one who was angry with me is the very person in whom I found comfort, in his forgiveness. Isn't the same thing true for you and me? We've rightfully angered our God with our behavior. And yet, in Jesus, we hear him say, I forgive you. My anger has been taken away. And really, it's that fact that allows us to go on to the second stanza of Isaiah's song. God is my salvation, therefore, I will not be afraid. If you think about it, there's a lot of things that can make us afraid. I mean, for example, maybe you're afraid of what the kids are going to say about you at school. You're afraid of embarrassing yourself in front of others. You're afraid of not living up to people's expectations. You're afraid that you're not going to get the job you wanted. You're afraid of never finding the right person in your life. You're afraid that your family is going to fall apart. Your health is going to fail. Your money is going to run out before your life does. And all these things can leave us feeling anxious, feeling like God is not really on our side, feeling like, well, man, good luck just having anything work out right. My friends, you realize that these are fears that creep into our minds when we lose sight of the fact that God is on our side. When we lose sight of the fact that what's the worst thing that can happen to us? The worst thing that can happen to us is that we could go to hell. And God has taken care of that. We will not. And therefore, we have nothing to be afraid of, right? Once we know where we're going when we die, once we know that God has guaranteed that by raising his son from the dead, once we know that God has adopted us into his family, there's nothing that can make us afraid. How did the Apostle Paul put it to the Romans? If God is for us, then who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he and not also along with Jesus graciously give us all things? Isn't that the truth? I mean, if God has taken care of your eternity on the other side of the grave, he's certainly going to handle your life on this side of the grave. No matter what your fears, no matter what your doubts, no matter what your problems are, you can say, you can sing with the prophet Isaiah, as you just did, surely it is God who saves me. Therefore, I will trust in him and not be afraid. It's that peace and security that you and I have, knowing that God is our Savior, that allows us to take one more step and sing the third stanza, namely, I will make known what he has done. How's Isaiah put it? Give thanks to the Lord. Call on his name. Make known among the nations what he has done. And proclaim that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done glorious things. Let this be known to all in all the world. What's Isaiah talking about here? He's talking about evangelism. Right? He's talking about mission work, proclaiming his nations what he has done. In other words, man, once you know the good news that God is your Savior, don't keep it to yourself, but proclaim it, share it with other people, both near and far. But there's something else Isaiah teaches us here in these words. He reminds us that our worship of God, the songs that we sing to him, the songs that he's recorded in Scripture, including the first song of Isaiah, are not so much focused on how we feel about God, how much I love God, but rather they're focused on what God has done for us. Right? Isn't that what the prophet says? What he has done, that he has done glorious things. My friends, isn't that what inspires our heartfelt worship today? It's not what we've done. It's not what we are doing. It's about what he has done for us. God acts, and then we react with faith and hope and peace and thanks. That's what Isaiah did, and that's what we do as well. As we sing, surely it is God who saves me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. For the Lord is my stronghold and my sure defense, and he will be my Savior. To God be the glory. Amen. Please stand.